fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. This is the George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on the George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into sports. Oh, did I just give it a different name, an old name out of the past? I almost went sports night. It's now the George Plaster Show, like anybody really cares one way or the other. The point is, thank you for joining us on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in Nashville. Let's check in first up in the plateau. Watson Brown is standing by. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm doing great.
Excellent.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
You good?
I'm in a good mood. We're getting close to the weekend. Meanwhile, let's go north a little bit up toward the state border where Terry McCormick is standing by. Terry's a little more uptight. This is a big day for his Yankees. This is sort of a do or die tonight for them. They can't go down 3-1 against the Astros. So, Terry, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, of their starters, they've got Masahiro Tanaka on the mound tonight, and that's probably the best choice that they could go with there. I have more confidence in him probably than any of their other starters, and they did light up Zach Greinke pretty good in Houston. So you're right, this is a pivotal game. I don't think they need to go down, three games to one with Justin Verlander on the horizon tomorrow night.
Godzilla.
Yes. No. That is not recommended to be down 3-1 and have Verlander with a chance to pitch a clinching game.
Trust me, I get it. So who would pitch tomorrow night on both fronts? Verlander, Houston, who are you going with? Paxton?
James Paxton is the scheduled starter.
Yeah.
And I think the Yankees are pretty much going with a three-man rotation in this series of Tanaka, Paxton, and Severino. It looks that way.
Guys, that's one of the things that is totally different. I mean, when you get into the football playoffs, it's the same stuff as the regular season. You get into the hockey playoffs, it's the same hockey, maybe with a little more intensity and certainly more crowd intensity. But when you get to the postseason in baseball, it's nothing like the regular season. Teams pare down their rotation. They take the bums and, throw them out in the bullpen and you never see them. The people who have, pooped the bed from the bullpen, you never see them. I mean, you're down to basically six pitchers.
Yeah, that's something I think that's kind of become in vogue over the last 10 or 15 years because, I mean, George, you know as well as I do, when you watch those Braves teams that went to the World Series a number of times, Smoltz, Maddox, and Glavine were the three bell cows, but they also made sure that a Charlie Liebrand or a Steve Avery or a Kevin Millwood got their share of starts in the postseason.
Watson, you were going to ask something in that. Go ahead.
I was asking as a fan, why? I don't understand why you cut one out, or I know why you cut from five to four if you have five. I understand it, but why do you want to go three and make people pitch on one less day of rest than they're used to? It's like I asked you the question, George, the other day. Why do you throw a starter into the bullpen when he hasn't done that? I mean, I can't figure baseball out in that way. I mean, won an awful lot of games to get to where you are. And it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, okay, let's take the Braves for a second. Kind of the odd man out in the playoffs was Julio Teheran. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at Julio Teheran's year, he feasted on the Florida Marlins. I think he beat them five times in the regular season. If you take them out of the equation, worst team in the National League, suddenly Julio Teheran's numbers didn't look all that good. He was a nibbler, too many people on base. He walked a ton of people. And in a five-game series where every pitch and every breath matters, I don't think the Braves felt like they could take the chance on a Julio Teheran. So they then took a chance on Foltynewicz, who went a third of an inning in Game 5.
Yeah, and Kershaw for the Dodgers. I mean, who says they don't win the series if they don't throw him out there like that? And I feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for the Dodgers. They're the ones who made the decision. But the pitcher's going to go do what to help his team. And if he's asked to do it, he's going. If he's not, I wouldn't want him on my team anyway. But I just don't understand it. I don't understand that. If you've got a problem with Julio Teheran, fix it before you get there.
Yeah, but
another reliever. Go.
But their answer to that is it's not fixable. It's simply a deal where the stuff
was fixable back at the end of the trade line, wasn't it? There were
relievers
out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, they went out and acquired three and. Through some goofy circumstances.
Why don't those three? Why aren't those three pitching them?
They were.
Well, no.
They were all bullpen.
Maybe for the Braves, but I don't. I think you're dodging my question.
Well, I'm not. Okay.
Why don't you go fix this? But if you know you got that problem, and you know you got a great chance to get in the playoffs, spend whatever heck money you got to spend and go fix it the best you can. I don't understand why you want to say, okay, when we get here, here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
The heck with it. We're not going to try to fix anything. When we get to the playoffs, we're all right because we're going to pitch all these pitchers on one day less rest. Or we're going to throw them in the bullpen where they haven't been. I mean, I'm a football coach, so it's I'm a little more hard-headed that way. What
right.
Rung you in football you go with. I can't figure out this philosophy.
Well, okay, but a lot of the teams – put their general managers under certain financial constraints. Now, the Yankees may not be one of those, but Liberty Media, who owns the Braves, they don't give a damn about that team. They are a profit loss. You know, Anthopoulos had a certain number that I don't believe he could go over, and I think he did an unbelievable job in trying to mix and match around their salary constraints.
Then don't fuss about it, and when the manager throws out a starting pitcher out there, we should not be giving that pitcher such a hard time.
Well,
wow.
Let me put it to you.
It's fair
like,
to Kershaw. I don't think it's fair to Kershaw to throw him out there and then put him down when he isn't able to perform.
Go ahead, Terry, and then Watson. I'm going to ask you something in a minute.
Okay, let me throw this out there, like in a football vernacular, so to speak. Let's pretend for a moment that the Titans are a playoff team. I know that's pretty far-fetched right now. But if the Titans are in a playoff game, and let's say the carries have been divided up for most of the year, that Derrick Henry's getting 20 carries a game and Deion Lewis is getting 5 carries a game, would you rather Deion Lewis get his 5 carries, or would you rather Derrick Henry get maybe 23 or 24 carries in order to have your best back out there for more plays in such a crucial situation? I think that's kind of the trade-off and the balance to try and, you know, compare, you know, how they do pitching in baseball to how they use football players.
Well, you also do it so the guy's fresh in the fourth quarter, correct? So why would you want to change that? Why would you want to change that? If you're trying to give him enough carries, but yet he's really fresh in the fourth quarter, then all of a sudden we're going to give him another 6 or 7 more, and he's not the same in the fourth quarter. No, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me.
So, Watson, let me ask you this. This is an average fan kind of question. You played baseball. A pitcher goes into the game, he steps on the rubber, and he throws to home plate. So if you tell that pitcher, okay, instead of starting, now you're going to come in for an inning and a third, and we just need you to get four outs, and by the way, you know, you can ramp your velocity up if you need. Why should that be such a hard adjustment for a pitcher?
I don't know. I was never a pitcher, so I can't answer that. But to me, when you make somebody do something they haven't done at a very critical time, that's not good coaching. You want your players to know what to do and to have repped it 1,000 times. And so when you throw them out there, be like giving a quarterback a pass play in the middle of a game that they don't know, and go over and draw it up on the sidelines, and then you would expect him to hit the right guy by the coverage he sees or whatever. So I guess, George, I just look at it different than what you're saying. A pitcher that's a great pitcher, that you're making him do something that he's not done all year long, and then he's got to do that, it is different. You know, there are factors, I'm sure, because of if a manager knows this guy can handle it okay or whatever. I guess I'm talking in general terms here. I don't see why you don't try to fix something, because we just don't do. You don't put a new quarterback in the playoffs when you've gone with a guy for 16 games. You just don't do that.
I don't know. I just know that playoff baseball isn't anything remotely like regular season baseball. It's just not even close.
Well, then why wouldn't they pitch somewhere in the season 5, 6, 10 times, get him ready for that, knowing you're going to get there, and then let him pitch on 3 days rest?
You know, that is that's a really good point.
Just so they would at least have tasted it. Why wouldn't you stick him in the bullpen late in the year, just so he can taste it before you do it to him in the playoffs?
Terry, you know what? That's a really good point.
That is a good point. Now, there have been teams like that have a large lead. A team that, like the Dodgers, that it clinched by the Labor Day, or basically, you know, sometimes if they know a guy is going to be in the bullpen for the postseason, sometimes they will let that guy get an inning or two out of the bullpen during the regular season to kind of get used to that. But most of the time, the reason it's not done is probably because with all the wild card situations and the pennant races, most teams don't have the luxury of saying, well, we're up 10 games with 14 to play. We can afford to do some of these things. It takes them until the final week of the regular season to clinch a playoff spot.
But the point that he brought up, the Dodgers had that luxury and probably in the future ought to consider what he threw out there with a big lead to do that with Kershaw. The Braves had a little bit of time. They had a little bit of time.
Yeah, they did. They had, what, 7 games left when they clinched?
Yeah.
The Yankees had that luxury.
Yep. All right, Watson, I'm going to turn the tables on you for a minute, because this is something that I've always wondered, and I know that football and baseball are different animals, very different sports. But, you know, in football, the quarterback, as we saw with Marcus Mariota this past week, once you have benched a quarterback, you basically, you know, for better or worse, it looks like you've moved on from him. But in baseball, when you put, it doesn't matter, you could put the Astros could run Justin Verlander out there tomorrow night, and if he gives up 5 runs in the first inning, they take him out and they don't think anything more about it. He comes back the next game, and he's probably lights out again. What is different about the football mentality that says you can't take a guy out and go back to him like you can a hockey goalie or a baseball pitcher?
Two things I think with that. Number one is timing of everything. In football, 11 people have to be exactly the same. The ball snapped, and if one of those 11 don't do exactly what they're supposed to do, you got a problem. And so timing with that quarterback, you change that out, you've got to expect to take plenty of time now to get that change back. That's the first thing. Second thing, a quarterback is the leader of the team. And a pitcher is not maybe the leader of the team. The quarterback is the leader of the team. He touches the ball every play. He changes the plays at the line of scrimmage. It's just the nature of football. I don't care if your quarterback's a senior in college or he's a sophomore in college. Your quarterback is one of the leaders of the team. So I think that's a little bit harder to change in and out, more than just a starting pitcher that's going to be out there one out of every five games or one out of every four games.
Okay. Maybe we pick up on this later. Who knows? Interesting stuff that we've gotten thrown out right off the bat. After the break, we're going to talk with former Nashville Predator Dan Kesmer. I've had Dan on a variety of shows over the last year talking about the team. He's terrific. You will enjoy him. And he comes up next on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Redneck Nation Radio has sold out, so you can buy in. That's right, Renegades of Puck. Just go to WNSR.com and click on the Redneck Nation page, and you can get yourself exclusive Redneck Nation and Renegades of Puck merchandise. Support the show that brings you the best hockey coverage in the market. Remember, go to WNSR.com, get yourself some Redneck gear right now for the upcoming season. When we get to that season, remember, Redneck Nation Radio, right here on Nashville Sports Radio, every game day starting at 5 a.m.
.223 is the time. If you care about this hockey team, you're in for a real treat. Dan Kesmer can analyze this stuff backwards and forwards, and has been nice enough, as he did for me on a Sunday night show that I used to do, has agreed to do this for me with this show, and I am thrilled to have him joining us. Dan, appreciate it. Just don't send me a bill.
Good afternoon, George. As always, it's great to be on the air with you.
Yeah, and Watson Brown and Terry McCormick are in on this as well, so they'll be doing some of the questions. So the questions will be better than what you're used to, okay?
Oh, don't sell yourself short, George. You're one of the best.
Thank you, and I'll send you the check. It's now in the mail. So
okay, we're even.
Dan, let me start with this. It is obvious that Matt Duchene is making a really positive effect on this team. What is it he's doing that seems to be working so well for them?
Well, first and foremost, he's a God-gifted offensive forward that, you know, has proven for many years that he's dynamic and he puts up a lot of points. So that in itself is a huge shot in the arm for the offense for the Preds. And then two, you know, you take Forsberg off of that Jolta line, which historically has been your number one line, and now you've got two offensive threats that teams have to worry about, and I think that that, in the long run, is going to free up some opportunity for Ryan Johansson and Arvidsson because they're not going to be paired up against the opposition's top checking line every night like they have for years past. So I think there's a combination of things that Duchene brings to the team that is nothing but, you know, good and fun to watch.
For the last couple of years, Kyle Turris has been the whipping boy. I don't know if you'd call it a slump. I don't know what you would call it, but he was virtually untradeable at the end of the season because of what salary-wise he's getting. Now, all of a sudden, some things have happened, and he started scoring. He's making contributions. Dan, break it down for me. What is happening that is opening his game back up again?
Well, before I get into that, I don't know if it's fair to say he was a whipping boy because his productivity was conducive to criticism. And I think that that's what, you know, the fan base and the coaching staff were getting at, that, you know, Kyle's salary versus experience and lack of production were basically unacceptable. So it seems, you know, to start the season, he's definitely come into a different dynamic where, you know, he is starting to, you know, get some points and maybe having the pressure taken off of him has benefited him because he's not on that second line and, you know, he's still seeing some power play time, which, you know, boosts the confidence. And, you know, I'm happy to see it because secondary scoring, you know, is going to be crucial. You know, you've got the addition of Duchene. You've always had the goal opportunities from Forsberg and Arvidsson, and to throw another player into the mix like Turris is going to be a huge benefit to the Preds throughout the, you know, course of the season.
I want to get your take on this. Roman Josi is the captain. He's also in the final year of his contract, and you know, you start thinking about several years ago with Ryan Suter and you know, when this didn't get done to start the season, before the season started, is this a storm cloud? Is this something a Preds fan ought to be worried about? Kind of take me through what you think here.
Well, you'll hear from both camps, you know, from the player's perspective through his agent and through the management with David Poyle, that, you know, things are rosy and it's just, you know, some I's needed to be dotted and T's needed to be crossed and they're in the negotiations. At the end of the day, you're talking about your best player on the Preds, you know, defensively and some nights offensively. That weighs in the back of your head twofold. You're wanting to perform at the best of your ability to secure your future. And in this case, it's generational, you know, future, because it's probably going to be somewhere upwards around, you know, 6 year, 60 million, 7 year, 70 million. And then two, you're also worried that, hey, you know, if I go out there and I have a catastrophic injury, I'm giving up 60, 70, 80 million dollars. So there's, you know, he is human. So to have that lifted off of his mind, you know, he's off to a great start. I love watching Roman play, but I would really like to see the deal get done for the sake of his mindset, because there just isn't clarity there day in and day out. Because when you've got something that substantial on the horizon, it needs to get done. And I was shocked that, you know, prior to the season started, that this wasn't done. And you know, not that it has never happened before, but in most situations, a player of his caliber going into the last season of his contract, those details get worked out over the summer. And, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't. He is playing great. You know, he's a great player. He's a great leader. And I hope it gets done sooner than later.
Okay, I told you all, Dan Kesmer, former Predator, who's on the line with us, will not pull any punches. He'll tell you exactly what he's thinking. So, Watson, he's your witness.
Dan, a quick question of mine that I've kind of always wanted an answer to. This team this year offensively is really fun to watch to me, and they're so dynamic. They can score in bunches, it looks like. I said this to George, I think, yesterday off the air or whatever. Defensively, is the defense always the last piece to come? Do you need to play games to where that's coordinated and we just get a little better as it goes? Should you start in hockey a better offensive team if you have the capabilities of being a good offensive team?
You know, being here 20 years and watching, you know, the evolution from, you know, where we were when I first came in, you know, 98, 99 to where they are today, I would argue that one of the pieces of success that has not been there has been the scoring. You know, you had a few years there in 2006-07 when you were loaded up. But historically, David Poile has put together a defensive-minded first type of team. I am not worried about the defensive capabilities of this team whatsoever because you're stacked on the back end. You have offense that is, you know, showing its capabilities right now. You know, in two games really kind of set everybody in a panic mode. You know, that game against LA and then the game against, I believe it was Detroit, both of which Soros played. You know, I look back at last year and even the year that we went to the finals against Pittsburgh, the thing that we were lacking was goals. You know, I feel comfortable that come playoff time, every team in the league tightens up defensively, which, you know, we didn't really have to do last year because we were strong all year. The thing that we lacked was offense. You know, 0-for-15 on the power play really killed us. And then, you know, the times that we weren't on the power play, we weren't all that efficient. So as a former player, I really like our team, you know, from start to finish, all four lines, you know, the seven defensemen. But what I really like is the fact, from a fan standpoint, going to watch the games and on TV, it's exciting. You know, you've got some really good hockey being played. And if we have to win 7-6, so be it. I enjoy it. And I think that when the time comes that you really have to put an onus on that defensive side of the game, you can do that. But like I said, the one component that we've been missing for, you know, years in the past is that fill in the net. And, you know, this sample size that we've had so far looks like we're going to have the capability of, you know, having some pretty good darn offense.
And second question, again, mine are more a fan sitting watching. You talked about power play. How do you put the power play team together? What's the chemistry of that? And do you just put your best offensive players you have? What does a coach go through when he tries to put his, let's say, his best power play team out there?
You know, that's a multi-layered question because it depends on, you know, the coach himself. Every team is different. You know, Laviolette doesn't necessarily just put his best players out there because if he was doing that, I think that you would keep that first line together. You know, with Granlund, Forsberg, and Duchesne, and he has separated that. He's got Joey out there, you know, some of which is playing the point with, you know, both him and Forsberg and Josi out there. So I don't necessarily know what mindset Laviolette's got. I do know that he brought in some help this year, and, you know, we're going to have to continue to watch to get a feel for, you know, what exactly that mindset is. But one thing that I think helps the success of the power play so far that we didn't have last year is one of the pieces that are missing is P.K. Subban. And I haven't been a fan of P.K. Subban after his first year here. I thought that his play decreased. It took away power play time from other players, and it was easy to shut down with the opposition because he teed up for a one-timer. So I think not having him on the blue line has improved our capabilities, which have been shown so far.
Fantastic. George?
Terry?
All right, Dan, you know, I'll admit I'm somewhat of a hockey novice, but in following the Predators, you know, we all obviously have seen Pekka Rinne and what he's been able to do over the years, but he's about to turn 37 next month. And in your mind, what's the right division of playtime between him and UC Soros in goal for the regular season, with him getting a little more advanced in age and knowing that Soros is a good enough goalie that he could start for a number of teams?
That's a very good question, and I would not want to be the decision maker in that situation because, you know, you look at Pekka this year so far, and he looks and he's playing like he's 24 years old. You know, I think that Pekka is looking phenomenal. I do realize that eventually his time is going to come to pass, and you've got to have someone like Soros waiting in the wings to take over. But darn, right now it would be a hard decision as a coach to take out somebody who's playing as good as Pekka Rinne, and it doesn't look like he's the old guy that needs a break. Anybody who's ever met him in person knows that he looks and plays like a world-class athlete. You know, he takes very good care of himself, and that's a good question. I don't know how they're going to handle that. I know prior to the season starting, there was talk that, you know, Soros was going to get a lot more playing time. Reading between the lines, there's a good reason for that. Not because he's better than Pekka, but eventually you've got to have somebody in a position ready to take over when Pekka does leave. But Pekka's looking darn good so far.
You know, a lot of the attention on this team obviously goes to guys who are scoring threats like Ryan Johansson or Philip Forsberg, Duchesne, Arvidsson, those guys. But who are some of the guys that are playing well, maybe on the third and fourth line, that maybe the average fan wouldn't notice how well they're playing just from the time they get on the ice?
Bonino, Watson, Grimaldi. You know, that fourth line plays a pivotal role in the dynamics of a team. You know, they're shutting down, you know, top teams are penalty killing. You know, they're the unsung heroes. And I've been very impressed with them so far. I think that, you know, they've played really well. And when you can start getting some point production out of that fourth line, you know, that's just icing on the cake. And then, you know, because we do have such a good defense, and, you know, the names are always thrown into the press conferences or the stats, and, you know, the ones who get the notoriety are, you know, obviously Roman Josi and Ekholm and Ryan Ellis. But then you go down the line and you've got Weber, who I think is a great player. You've got Hamhuis, who's been playing really well. You've got Matt Irwin, who's in and out of the lineup, questionably as good or better than Hamhuis himself. So you've got a lot of good players, and then you've got Favreau coming in, who's eating up a lot of minutes, showing that, you know, he's capable and worthy of that position. So, you know, it's not only the guys who are, you know, getting the points, it's the ones who are, you know, a piece of the puzzle that is equally as important that don't get the notoriety.
One last one from me, and as much as you, I guess, can make a statement game 6 or 7 games into an 82-game schedule, it seemed like that the Predators were really pleased and put a lot of stock in the way that they were able to go into Las Vegas the other night and handle the Golden Knights. Are those types of wins this early in the season, when you can make those types of statements and come out and play really well on the road like that, how important is that to a team's psyche and confidence going forward?
Absolutely. You know, confidence is contagious. And I believe that, you know, throughout the the season, the more wins on the road that you get, the more confidence that you build into the future, and that's proven itself right now. If they can come out of tonight's game and, you know, go 2 out of 3 on the road, especially coming out of Vegas, which is, I've never been there, but I've heard that it's equally as tough or tougher than a home arena to play in than Nashville is. And, you know, hats off to the way they played the other night, because, you know, they started out quick. They fell behind as quick, and then, you know, they battled through it and came out on top. So, you know, confidence is key. It, just like momentum, it's hard to chart, but, boy, does it have a lot of power.
Dan, this is great stuff. Can't tell you how thrilled I am that you're going to join us from time to time throughout the season. So at some point, we'll figure out maybe a permanent day each week and get on with it. But thank you so much for your insights.
Well, I appreciate you having me, George. And, you know, it was a pleasure talking to you, Terry and Watson. I believe I got that right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you guys have a good rest of the day. And, boy, it's hard not to have a smile on your face with this great weather that we've got out there today.
Amen. Keep it here. Talk to you, Dan.
See you, George. See you, guys.
Well, as you all can tell, guys, I didn't lie about it. Dan really knows this stuff, and he is going to be a tremendous asset to this show throughout the season.
Yes, he is.
Definitely.
He sure is.
The Roman Josi stuff is a little surprising. I guess all along, and Dan kind of put it this way, kind of thought they'd get this done before the season started.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. You know, usually you don't want to let a potential key free agent kind of hang out there. You know, the general rule of thumb is to go ahead, if you think they're going to be part of your core group, to go ahead and lock them up in some sort of way. To my knowledge, the NHL doesn't have anything like a franchise tag or anything like that that allows them to hang on to him while they continue to negotiate, do they, George?
No.
I didn't think so. So, you know, if they were to lose him at the end of the year, it certainly would be a big blow.
Be a huge loss. I hope this gets done soon. We'll go to the break at 2:41. First of all, if you would like to get in on the lines, if you've got something, as long as it's sports, that you want to get into, dial us up right now. 844-5600 is the number. Again, 844-5600. And I'll also pick Watson and Terry's brain about a game that ought to get your attention. Stay tuned. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville's Sports Radio.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kalutis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kalutis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare Exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Tonight in Denver, the Broncos, who are not very good, and that made the Titans' non-performance out there even more damning. The Broncos play host to Kansas City. And a funny thing happened on Kansas City's march to the Super Bowl. A couple of things happened. Number one, their defense came back, and that's not good. They can't stop anybody. And secondly, it kind of looks like Detroit about 3 weeks ago sent the rest of the league a message on how to defend Patrick Mahomes in this high-powered chief offense. Now, admittedly, there's been an injury. Tyreek Hill's injury has hurt Kansas City's offense. But, Watson, let me start this with you. Did Detroit send a blueprint to the rest of the league? Here's the way to start defending them?
Maybe a little bit, but what I think's wrong with the Chiefs, number one, their defense is not good enough to win a Super Bowl. I don't know what they're going to do. Fired the coach, and that's obvious that wasn't fired Coach Sutton, I think it was, and I'm not sure that was the answer because they're still bad. But I think the big thing, George, I see is I think Mahomes is hurt. He can't be himself. He can't
right.
run around. He can't throw those sideways passes because he's on one leg. And all of a sudden, he's not Superman anymore. And when he's not Superman, I think their offense is – I think he is the piece. They've got a lot of good players on their offense, but not without that guy. And his legs are a big piece of what he does. I think a lot of his best throws are not in the pocket. They're sliding up or moving sideways or whatever. But the Lions played them well. You're dead on with that.
Terry, what are you seeing?
Well, I also see, like Watson pointed out, not only is Mahomes hurt, but over on the other side of the football, I think another team that exposed them kind of for what they were was the Indianapolis Colts. The fact that they were able to run it about 40 times against that Chiefs defense, and they basically kept that offense on the sideline for a good part of the ball game. So, you know, it's hard to score when you don't have the ball in your hands. And I think the Colts and the Lions both kind of showed the league how you take on this Kansas City team. You know, now one of the things, you know, that I've been told is that the Chiefs were one of the teams that were
trying to make a play for Jalen Ramsey as a way to help shore up that defense. But obviously that's gone by the boards now. So you really wonder what they're going to try to do, you know, to try and, you know, remedy this. I guess probably their best hope is to get Mahomes healthy again and try to outscore everybody. But I think over the past two or three ball games, they've gone from looking like the best team in the league to kind of falling back into the pack and maybe just being a good team but not a great one.
Well, Watson brought up to me what is the big issue. And for all of the fluff and the fun of Kansas City, they can't play a lick of defense. And it has really reared its head in the last couple, 3 weeks again. You know, at times they've been able to mask it. Against Houston, they couldn't get stops. Against Indy, they couldn't get stops. Watson, they're not going to win any championships with this.
No, and Terry's right. I think what happened early in the year, they were out, they were getting big leads.
Right.
So everybody's throwing the ball and trying to catch up, so it didn't show. And all of a sudden, games are a lot tighter, and everybody's running the ball, and all of a sudden, the NFL is a copycat league now, I'm telling you. If somebody does something pretty good, the next one's going to give it a shot. There's no doubt. You better get it fixed or you're going to get it again. And that's what I think's happening. These games are closer because and they're not scoring as many points. So it's still run pass when the other team gets the ball and they're running the ball down their throat. And that's the problem. It's not the pass as much as it is. They rush the passer decent. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the ball going right at them.
Can they stop Denver?
I don't know. The last couple, they have not been able to. I don't know. That's a tough call to me. Till I see them stop somebody when somebody says, I'm coming right at you with a run, babe, stop me. Till they can show me that, I'm not sure.
Terry?
Watson, I want to ask you this from a coach's standpoint. When you're this far along in the season and we're roughly just over a third of the way through the NFL season and you see a great deficiency, whether it's stopping the run or, like in the Titans' case, the offensive line, at this point in the season, with the personnel that you have, knowing that you're limited in you know, who you can bring in or what you can do, can you fix it or you just are what you are at this point and you have to go on and do the best you can?
Terry, I think that's a great question. My thoughts through all these years are it's really hard to fix defense. You can tinker offensively and kind of head a little bit in a different direction, or you can lean a little more toward the pass if you're having this problem, or if you're having pass protection problems, you can spread out more and throw quicker balls. You can work hard on your screen game. Defensively, other than just put them all up at the line of scrimmage and give it your best shot, if you can't stop the run, you can't stop the run. It's really hard to correct a talent problem on defense. It's a lot harder than it is to correct your problem on offense, in my opinion.
So this gets down tonight to sort of a battle between Denver's offensive line, Philip Lindsay, who really runs hard against a Chiefs defense that for 3 weeks couldn't stop me. And let's face it, that's all Denver's got on offense. The rest of it is just a pile of mush. Looks like the Titans, unfortunately. And then the question is Denver's defense, you know, can Von Miller and that group get enough done to keep Kansas City, you know, in kind of turmoil? I'm really interested to see where this goes tonight and just what level Kansas City has fallen to.
I'm not sure they won't score enough points. I think they will tonight. Denver's not very good on offense, George, and they may run it some, but I don't think that it would take a ton of points to beat Denver tonight.
I agree with that completely. I think Kansas City's offense has enough to get it done, even if Denver's defense plays well. I just don't think that the Broncos have enough firepower to keep up with what the Chiefs can do, even though they're more limited than normal.
The game tonight is at 7:15. Not that Terry's going to be watching it. I think priority number one for Terry is the Yankee-Houston game. Now, is this a two-TV night, or is this one with a good clicker?
This is one with a good clicker. The Yankees take priority. Well, my first priority, I'm going to miss the first couple of innings because my son is playing fall baseball down at the Full Count League in Hendersonville. So he's got a game at 5:30 that I've got to attend. So once that's over, we will hustle back home to watch the Yankees.
Is there a scenario where you wanted to say to him, look, do your best, we're behind you, but I'll be home?
No, he'd be mad at me because he probably wants to watch the game as much as I do.
Oh. So Watson, he used to come in on the Sunday night show, and he'd wear all this Yankee garb, and he loved just sticking that in my face. All this Yankee, this communist stuff that they buy from, I don't know, the Kremlin or wherever, you know. And he'd be wearing this stuff, and it's just disgusting to see.
Well, as of now, George, he can still do it.
That's right.
Because the Braves are history, and the Yanks are still playing. So
yeah,
till you get the Yanks beat, big boy, you better just be quiet and live with it. That's
I
all
hear
I can
you.
Tell you.
Okay. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one. Stick around from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
By now, most of you have figured out James Warren and I went to BGA, class of 1977. He's the owner of Sir Speedy and Barry Hill, and he joins us by phone. James, let's talk a little printing services.
Well, I've been in business for a long time, and I've known that there's all kinds of challenges that everybody has every day. And I will say, now, printing doesn't have to be one of them. You can rely on the pros at Sir Speedy Barry Hill to provide you with print solutions to achieve your goals, whether you need posters, banners, brochures, catalogs, personalized mailers, copying, you name it. We're here to make you look good. So move printing off your plate and onto ours.
Give me the particulars.
You can reach us at 615-832-9511. You can visit us online at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com or email us at print@SirSpeedyMusic.com. We've got you.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Hey, it's Jonathan Schaefer. Join me, Greg Pogue, and Dan Bradley for Ensworth Tigers football.
It is a touchdown for the Ensworth Tigers!
Tune in Friday nights this fall for Ensworth Tigers football.
Still on its feet! It is a touchdown! What an effort for the TUAT touchdown!
Live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
25, and now close to the 20-yard line, and a sonic first down!
Your home of the Ensworth Tigers is right here on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
This football season, your friends at Pickers Vodka are proud to introduce Pickers Unplugged, ready-to-drink canned cocktails, real vodka soda, no strings attached, zero carbs, zero sugar, and only 96 calories. Pickers Unplugged is available in four refreshing flavors, but because it's made with real vodka and not malt liquor, you can only buy it at your local liquor store here in Tennessee. To learn more and to stay plugged in, visit PickersVodka.com or stop by the distillery in the Nations and take a tour.
.257 Terrence.
Yes.
It's time for our version of Match Game. You ready?
Sure.
Okay, let's hear the music. Terry, I want you to match what I'm going to give you with the right school. You ready?
Sure.
No offense is as bad statistically as blank. Blank is dead last, 130th in scoring, and blank is averaging 128 yards per game of total offense, averaging less than 12 points per game, and that is nearly 4 points fewer than the next team, which is Akron. Who is blank? Quickly.
I'll say UMass.
Terry, is that what you thought, Watson?
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Wrong?
Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Ooh. Rutgers.
Underdog picks are next. Do not turn the dial.